Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay. You're a bit further out than usual.
I don't know, man. I have to reset this up all the time.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine. Oh, no. Yeah, it's the problem with having a mobile setup, but with the way you work and all the things that you do for not just Genreverse but your and LRM but your regular life, probably a good thing to keep yourself mostly mobile.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying at times, but you know, it's what it is.
If we are lucky enough to get not just the press, but press and or the panel stuff for AX, I'm gonna have to get a laptop. Gonna have to, because I can't really bring a giant full sized tower. Well, I think it's technically a mid-size. No, it's a full tower. It's huge.
It doesn't matter.
It's huge. So yeah. Welcome to Monday. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre. We actually do record this every morning. Well, all the mornings we record. Anyways, here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast. Genreverse Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Kyle, that's Manny. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you're watching us. If you're listening, give us a follow on your favorite app like Spotify or Amazon. And yeah, check out LRMonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Because not only do you have the podcast, you get written articles, opinion pieces, written reviews, celebrity interviews that go on the LRM YouTube channel, and so much more. Manny, how was Renfield? Because I got a very different story on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, which you guys can listen to right here, where Jonesy reviewed Renfield on there, and he got me rather excited, man. So what's up?
So here's the deal. Brittany and I are huge Nicolas Cage fans.
Okay.
Because the theory of
and
of Nicolas
60 seconds, I mean, just there's reasons to be a fan.
There's some, I mean, but the thing with Nicolas Cage films, it's either they're going to be really good or really bad, and we're going to enjoy them either way, because sometimes when they're really bad, they're bad, right? In this case, it wasn't bad enough to say
that we
enjoyed it in that way. We're actually very surprised at how unsatisfied we were with the film. So the issues with it is really it was really bland. The comedy does so. Ben Schwartz and Awkwafina kind of play like secondary characters to Nicholas Holt and Nicolas Cage, but because I you know they're actual comedians, mm-hmm. they really actually shine in the film more than anyone else. I'm a big fan of Awkwafina, so I was fine. I was fine with that.
Okay.
And Ben Schwartz, I think, is hilarious.
He is.
John Ralphio is one of my favorite characters in Parks and Rec. Also the voice of Sonic.
I know him for, I was going to say Sonic, and I forget which brother he plays on DuckTales, but he voiced one of the Huey, Dewey, or Louie. I forget which one.
So,
I think it's Louie.
Anywho. Nicholas Holt and Nicolas Cage were just bland, man. And
really?
And just some of the shot selections were very questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And as excited as we were for the film, we were very disappointed. It had some fun moments.
Do you
like when the gore, like some of the gore?
I heard the gore's good.
Was good. No issue with that.
When it comes to Holt, Do you like The Great on Hulu? Have you liked that show? Have you seen that?
The Great was fun. Yeah.
Because Christine and I freaking adore The Great. Like that is one of those weird live action 3D things you guys are always watching that we occasionally watch instead of anime. That's one of the shows that I definitely really do enjoy.
Yeah, the great has some fun.
And you don't think Holt did well for this movie?
No, this movie.
But you think he's good in The Great?
Yeah, I like him in The Great.
I just want to make sure I got like context. That's all.
Yeah, I've met Nicholas Holt in person, so. So we were very disappointed, especially because we watched two movies on Saturday. We did not expect that one to be the lesser of the two.
Damn.
What and else? It ended up being the lesser of the two. The Pope's Exorcist.
How was that?
Surprisingly good. Very straightforward as far as your typical exorcist story. Exorcism kind of gags and you know, kind of tropes that you'd expect from an exorcist movie. But because you stuck Russell Crowe into it and is actually based on a real person, the story, they don't focus on the demon itself or the possession. They focus on the exorcist, the person who he was and why he was and was important. And all of the side character, all of the side characters really compliment him. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't try to pretend like he's not the star of the film. It really leans on it. And for someone who hasn't necessarily made a big feature film like this in the director for The Pope's Exorcist, did a really good job. my biggest thing and this is only a thing because Brittany and I are kind of review trailers before and afterwards kind of to gauge on how much you give away or things like that. We like to do that. There's some moments in the trailer where if you've seen the trailer enough times, you get to that moment of the film, you know exactly where it's headed the rest of the film. There was a little bit of a left turn, which was nice, but then it was just surprisingly good. Just straightforward, good pacing. And that's the other thing about Renfield is that the first, I'd say about 30 minutes of the film, the pacing is god awful. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's just kind of really mopey and it tries to be quick, but at the same time it feels like slow as heck. Like we were at some points bored.
That sucks.
To us, and this is us to our opinion, Awkwafina was the star of that film. She was really good. I like her. I like her comedy. I like her style.
She was fun in Shang-Chi. I haven't watched anything else. I've seen clips of things with her in it.
She has a show on HBO Max. I can't remember what it's called at the moment. It's too early. I haven't had my coffee. But overall, like Renfield was like a C best. The lighting was very monster-ish.
I seen that in the trailer.
And Jonesy
gave it a B plus on Breaking Geek, if I'm not mistaken. And he was like surprised himself that he gave it a B plus.
Audiences don't agree with him either, despite the fact that, and I'm saying by box office numbers.
Oh, yeah. The box office is bad. I was going to look up the Rotten Tomatoes because I think that was a relatively good score, but good segue, Manny. I was going to say.
The Pope's Exorcist had a higher Rotten Tomatoes also.
Wow.
Than Renfield. So
Renfield has an 80, we were, 81.
We were surprised, man. We really thought we were going to really enjoy Renfield.
Yeah.
It's not like, so we were very shocked.
Pope's Exorcist has 83. Yeah. Pope's Exorcist came in with 9 mil. Renfield came in with 7.7. Mario topping off at 87, bringing its domestic total to 347. I think it breaks 500 in the U.S.
It's gonna.
Do you think it's got another 160 million in it? I wouldn't. I would. I mean, I would. I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be very happy to see that.
The thing that gives it that opportunity, and it's outperforming. It may not is that oh, we still got weeks till our next blockbuster, really.
Right. Well, I meant like it's overperforming its projections. Like, oh, when you go on the numbers and you look at the chart, it kind of fell within over the last week, but it had another jump over the weekend to being above. I think it's got a shot at 500, and it still, of course, is not out in Japan until next week.
So what I didn't know is that it's not only not out in Japan, but it's also not out in Korea or the Middle East. And I'm like, holy crap, man. So, Mario has a huge opportunity.
Is China going to get this one? Yeah, China already brought in 15.
China already did.
Yeah, 15 mil on it.
Yeah.
China's got a big gaming culture because of the size of its population, but the density of its gaming culture is different because of the restrictions on kids and the limitations of what games are actually allowed there. So I'm curious as to if this was a different game movie, would it do well? Like, I think World of Warcraft did well in China, right? Maybe. Anyways.
That's one of the highest grossing films, and I didn't know that internationally that really? It did so well. I thought it was somebody. It kept coming up like, oh, you know, World of Warcraft was in its video game of adaptation. It did well internationally. I was like, what? I don't know if that was true or not. So here's the thing with
or Warcraft, right? It was just called
Warcraft.
Yeah. It made $391 million internationally to the US's no, hold on, to the US's 47. So
which is a surprise. I think Warcraft in 2023 would do a whole lot better.
China gave it $213 million.
Yeah.
What was Venom for China again?
We had Super Mario had like a 40% drop, man. That's how you know how it's going to do well for a while.
Yeah.
Next week, it'll have that 55, 60, 65% drop that we were waiting for. But also, next week, there's not really much coming out. Oh, no. Evil Dead's coming out. You're not sending the kids to see that.
China, sorry, I hear you. Yeah, definitely not as much competition coming up. But China gave Venom 270. I knew it was close to 300. I didn't remember how close. But, dude, 200. See, domestic market, this is what happens when you guys don't go to the theaters, is they start making things for someone else. And
for China, which is why Disney is afraid of China and other studios are afraid of China.
Because they're now paying for several large, and I mean, look, China, here's the thing, it's always a risk with China, because they don't have to, they limit the number of movies coming in from the West generally anyways, and at any time they can raise or lower said number. Famously, they've been very restrictive against Disney stuff the last few years. So that's, your dollar matters, and again, don't spend your bread money, but that excess money, instead of being willing to wait for streaming, you've got it. Go to the theater. Go.
Yep. So one thing about the numbers that sucks for Renfield, they made seven.
Yeah,
like close to eight. That movie cost $65 million to make.
Oof.
So good luck getting that back. So that is definitely a I thought it was gonna do better.
It might play half decent in Europe and have a chance to potentially help it break even, but I don't know how.
Not that, I don't think it'll do that
how well. Yeah.
Pope's Exorcist, on the other hand, with its, you know, over 9 mil, it only costs 18 to make. So it's gonna be fine. And then Air, unfortunately,
that means Holton and Cage probably cost a pretty penny.
I'm pretty sure Cage cost a lot.
It might have been a passion enough project for him to, you know, not charge a whole bunch, but because the way it looks and sounds, you know, Renfield, you would expect to be in that like $30 to $40 million range as far as budget.
I was surprised when it said 65. That's pretty high. I would have thought this movie would have at least brought like 12, maybe, you know, 10-12, somewhere in that range at least. But I didn't realize that it came at such a high cost. So, you know, John Wick stayed strong with 3, and then it topped off at number 5 with Air, which is going to, in the end, lose money. So I don't know if it's going to be able to recover from that. But that's because you have a good portion of you have a good chunk of audience that refused to see that movie.
Refused to see which one?
Air.
Oh, Air. Why did people refuse to see that?
There are those in the African-American community that feel that Air takes something that... success of the Jordans.
Makes it look
like it's the white people that made it happen. Okay. And to a certain point, I'm like, oh, okay. I haven't seen
the movie, and
It's a good movie.
I was gonna say I've never read the history of it to compare, you know, to say, okay, well, this looks accurate or not, so I can't comment, but I can totally see how there could be potential issues there. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I can kind of see that argument. So, and that's not one that I debate at all. Yeah. So yeah, that's it again, man. My theaters were
I saw your picture. On our Discord, link in the description box.
We're between 1 and 6, and the entire time that lobby was packed, man. It is what it is with us, man. I don't know. But I mean, for Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, the thing about that film is that you don't just like, that's a movie you like go see with your entire family.
Yeah.
So we all went to see it with Emma together, and then with her mom and her mom's family, they went to go see it together over the weekend too. It does very, very well.
Sitting at 347 here in the North American box office, and 330 internationally, with 677 total. Still hasn't hit Japan.
Or Korea.
So what do you think now, Manny? Let me look back a few pages and see if I can't find what we had discussed. So I had said domestic back on the 10th of this month. I had said this would be a 500 million domestic with 1.6 worldwide. You said 425 and 1.2. I think it breaks 425 this week, but what do you think now, Manny?
What is it now? Look.
It's sitting at 347. Mm-hmm. Domestic
347
and 677 worldwide.
Now's at 450.
You were at 425 and 1.2.
I'll raise it to 475.
You think 475?
Yeah.
What about your worldwide total?
I'll just go 1.
You're just gonna say 1 billion on the dot.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with my 5 domestic. I will revise my worldwide, actually down to yours, 1.2. Oh.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of 3 and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
But I am sticking with 500 on the domestic side. So let me mark that down. And
it has a high potential to
dude, Japan's a wild card in my opinion.
Yeah, that's the one that's weird. And then I don't know how much they do.
I was gonna say, as I try to look it up here on our community page on YouTube, I had asked crap, I'd have to log in to see the results. Give me one second, guys. Yes, Kyle M at LRMonline.com. If you've ever thought about writing for the website, drop me a line, say LRM contributor in the subject line. Okay, now everything should be safe to bring over. So I had asked 5 days ago and had put out the Mario a poll. Hold on, as I mark timestamp. I did this poll to see how much people thought Mario would make in Japan in billions of yen, because the yen to dollar changes, so I just wanted to keep it as yen. I gave the top 10 grossing films in Japan, right? Which number one is that Demon Slayer, the movie Mugen Train. It brought in 40 billion yen, which currently is 300 some odd million dollars, right? The number two movie, relatively distant second at 31, almost, you know, almost 10 points, almost a whole quarter less than the number one movie, Spirited Away, from Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli, whatever. Titanic at number three, 26.2 billion. Frozen at number four, 25.5. And Your Name at 25.17. And I asked, you know, what do you guys think it'll make? Below 15 billion, 15 to 25 billion, 25 to 35 billion, 35 to 40, or over 40. And most people fell in the 15 to 35. So, you know, 15 to 25, 25 to 35. That chunk brings in the most money. And I definitely think it's somewhere in there. It's 15 to 30, 35, but I'm leaning close into that 25 to 35 billion yen, Manny. What do you think for Japan? It's such a, look at those top 10 movies. They're weird. Demon Slayer, Spirited Away, anime, makes sense. Titanic.
I'm sorry, Spirited is not Frozen. Weird. Spirited is great.
I didn't say Spirited. That's weird. I said that makes sense. They're anime. And then I said Titanic. That's weird.
I don't
Titanic's
know.
Number three in Japan. And then Frozen.
It's Super Mario. I think it's an anomaly also.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what it does. If it brings in 40 billion yen, I mean, you're looking at, like I said, currently that's roughly 300 million American dollars. That's a big chunk of money, man. But yeah. Does it do that? I don't know. What do you think? In billions of yen, what do you think? Somewhere between 15 and 40, or over 40. Where do you think?
You did too many math numbers. I'm not gonna.
Okay.
It's gonna do well. That's you said a lot of numbers, and right now I'm like, he said numbers. It's gonna do well in Japan. Hell, Super Mario was born in Japan.
I know, but so... I don't know how well it does.
So yeah,
because I'm looking.
It's gonna do really well. It should do better than Frozen.
I hope so. I hope it does better than Titanic.
But I don't know, man.
Does it beat
Leo?
Does it beat Does gaming beat anime? That's kind of the question.
Speaking of which, Fathom Events is going to have an event in 2 weeks where they're going to do the live version of Spirited Away in theaters for I think it was like 3 or 4 days.
That's cool.
Our theaters are practically sold out for the event, and they're going to be playing it at 2 theaters for I think 4 days, and those theaters are packed. We already got our tickets too, so that's Emma's favorite. That's cool. Studio Ghibli film. It's such a crazy, beautiful movie. Like, I don't understand where you even get the creativity for it.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, but anyway, back to your point. Yeah, no, it's just gonna do really well in Japan. You know who's not making money right now? Disney. Did you see how much money they lost? Almost $300 million in Lightyear, right? And Strange World.
Oh man.
So that's just an interesting point. The other big story that I did want to talk about is Netflix yesterday. I don't know if you heard what happened, but they screwed up big time.
What Netflix do?
So yesterday they were going to have their second live show ever after the
I'm seeing this Love is Blind.
Yeah, Love is Blind. Love and Blind, Kyle, is a really big deal in that kind of reality series genre. Netflix, that's their bread and butter, as far as the only really show that you can say arguably that they have that competes with like all of the other shows on Bravo,
and
stuff like that. So with the latest season wrapping up yesterday, they were going to have their latest live streaming event ever, which was going to be the Love is Blind reunion show,
right?
Their first live event, of course, was the Chris Rock special that did very well,
mm-hmm.
especially given all the controversy behind Chris Rock and you know, him getting slapped and finally really, really giving it back to Will Smith at the end of that one. Mm-hmm. Selective Outrage, that's what it was called. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be live, I think it was at, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were delayed, and then they were delayed, and they were delayed. So the thing is, everyone's freaking out online because it was highly anticipated, because Netflix doesn't do this, and especially for Love is Blind. So to see live reactions, people wanted to see some of the interaction with some of the couples.
YouTubers that were, you know, live streaming, and yeah.
Yeah, just a whole array, that whole group of people ready for this. And it got to the point where they tweeted like, Love is late, we'll get back to it, we'll get to it. Got to the point where they were like, hey guys, we're just gonna tape this and we'll release it tomorrow. Oh man, I couldn't believe it. And then the worst part is that it opened the door for trolls. Mm-hmm. Including Bravo, who does this and says, yeah, this will never happen on our network. If we tell you someone's going to be live, it's going to be live. I know that ABC 30 here in the Valley took a shot at it and says, hey, join us tomorrow. When we say we're going to be live at 7, we're going to be live at 7. Blockbuster, their Twitter account took a shot at it. You had people from everywhere getting involved, and it's really an embarrassing moment for Netflix. Because everyone else is live streaming. Amazon is doing like Thursday Night Football, and they're doing really successful at it. And then obviously Peacock has all of the WWE events that they do live.
Yeah.
And, Apple TV does baseball now on Friday specifically. So man, like what a blunder for Netflix, because
yeah.
It almost makes them look like the grandparents in the streaming world. That was the story.
That's funny. I got a Star Wars question, because I'm not gonna get to talk to anyone else about it before it happens. But And this is not based on any rumors. This is just based on opinions and looking at the show and stuff like that. Do you think they're going to kill Din? Because I keep going back, and God, I would freaking hate for her to be right. But I keep going back to all the reports about how unhappy Pedro Pascal is as the Mandalorian, because he's always masked, not in a suit. It's almost all voice work. We kept hearing that it's not quite like that. That sure, maybe there's some issues, but things are smoothed out, working. But we keep hearing in interviews, Filoni and Favreau and others talking about how, yeah, the Mandalorian in the title is no longer necessarily just Din. There's all of these Mandalorians, including future, you know, full grown Mandalorian Grogu, I guess. I don't know, man. I think that with words like that being tossed out in interviews, phrases like that, with the way they've kind of shown Din to kind of be a side character in his own show, so to speak, I think that's a possibility. And I saw somewhere else that the finale is supposed to hurt. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Manny? Are we about to see Pedro Pascal end his time in the galaxy far, far away?
I don't necessarily think so. I think he's too big of a character to kill off. But we haven't, like, it's interesting because we had this conversation at work, because they were talking about the Mandalorian, and I said and they're saying how great Pedro Pascal is. I was like, he hasn't even been in it. And they're like, that's him under the suit. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, but there's two other actors that actually play him when you don't see his face.
One of them's related to John Wayne, I heard.
You're that's not him. Yeah. And they had a hard time believing that. But it's like, I'm sorry to burst your bubbles, guys.
I met someone that thought movies were filmed in the order they're played. Like,
oh geez,
you like film it in real time, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like, yeah, why would you fly out to Australia, film there for a 5-minute scene, and then fly back to New York? You know, like,
no, yeah, no, that's one of the craziest things sometimes to talk to directors about. Yeah. It's like them filming kind of the climatic scenes first.
Yep.
And then, or talking to some direct actors and saying, we actually got to film the beginning first, which was nice.
Yeah.
So, back to your question. I don't know. The thing is I don't, the thing with Disney now in Star Wars is I can't look at it from a storyline perspective. I have to look at it from a marketing perspective.
Yeah,
because they don't necessarily, lately, especially with Star Wars, always with Star Wars, actually, they don't necessarily do things for the sake of the story. They do it for the sake of the dollar.
Yeah.
That brings the dollar?
Everyone does that.
No, I know. But yeah, but they focus so much on the Disneyland aspect, on the toys aspect. And I get it. Like, Ninja Turtles is literally, that's all it is, to sell toys. But it's the Power Rangers, Transformers.
There's my Turtles tattoo, my Ghostbusters tattoo, my Star Wars tattoo.
With Star Wars, you think they, hell, when the first movie came out, they didn't even have a toy line ready. The toy line came a long time after. Because, like, for example, they changed or added, or, you know, the whole story with Han and Leia just to try to sell cruise tickets.
Yeah.
Which was, I want to throw up.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
Because when I think Han Solo, I think space cruiser, you know, honeymoon on a cruise. Yeah.
Because if you get rid of him, do you get rid of Grogu also? And the thing is,
no, Grogu can carry on forward without Den. He's a foundling.
It'd be kind of weird.
He could be on Bo-Katan's side, and you know they're just dying to put more. Never mind. Carry on.
So, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that Grogu is the actual Mandalorian, which would be a interesting thing in general. But
I eyed that Dragon Zord behind you, dude. Nice.
Oh yeah, it's been there for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, sorry.
If I had the Megazord, I could actually combine the two of them.
Nice. Is that yeah. like a lightning collection or legendary collection or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, the Dragon Zord is my favorite of all of the Zords. Beautiful.
Yeah. It's a freaking dragon, man. Look what I'm wearing. It's my Green Ranger hoodie.
Yeah, you have to show off your tattoos and your hoodies every time, Kyle. Kyle's 5 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Wait, I'm just kidding, man. and this is the worst thing about this whole week thing is that everyone's like, oh, Armor, she's a traitor. And it's like, no, that's too easy. And then somebody told me, it's like, no, it's Disney. They have to make it easy or else people won't get it. And I went, ew.
Well,
because I Disney's kind of agree.
Not the only ones. Freaking Rings of Power did the exact same thing.
Oh yeah,
made it super easy, barely an inconvenience. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You're not wrong. You go back and you look at even Marvel things, and you know one that you and I famously complain about, the oversimplification and re-explanation of Captain America and Winter Soldier. Or at the time Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, yes. Yeah.
You know, there is this dumbing down, and part of it comes from people's inability to keep attention on something for longer periods of time. It's unfortunate because for a lot of us it's like a slap in the face. Like I hate being talked down to. Like if I'm consuming something for a 10-year-old, you know, a cartoon or something like that, I got it. I'm not going to expect the 10-year-old show to treat me like an adult. But if I'm consuming something that is general audiences or something that is meant for young adult to old people, I don't need to be talked down to. That's really upsetting. Like you have no idea. Anyway,
no, I agree. That was one of my biggest issues, if not the biggest issue, with Falcon and Winter Soldier, was the fact that it's like, okay, guys, I get it. Like,
you showed us this. We see the awfulness that did exist in the past, the awfulness that still does exist, and the work to be done. Mm-hmm. You showed it to us. You're literally stopping all other progress to catch up the kid in the back.
Yeah.
Sorry. But that, and the problem with all of that is that you make everyone kind of used to it, to where that's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's not good. Not everything should be normalized. And I know that's a loaded phrase, because you could use that and be like, well, anything. Here I'm talking about in entertainment, from making all games easy, casual type difficulty. You know, even where the most difficult level is like normal from the 90s, like doing that doesn't help anyone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, yeah,
you keep people should aspire to be bigger, greater.
Yeah, yeah, should be better. Yeah, you know, people should aspire to be greater.
Not just accept it. And that's one of those things where I keep getting upset when someone's like, well, you just got to adjust your expectations to enjoy this movie. And I'm like, oh my God, no, I shouldn't. Especially in something like Mando that's already existing. One of my biggest complaints has been how cartoony this season for Mando has been. And that the first two seasons weren't this cartoony. Sure, you had your moments just like you do in any Star Wars project, but this has been ridiculously like a live action Rebels episode, and that's not what the
How
Mandalorian
like
was.
Captain Broccoli.
Davey Broccoli's a piece of anyways.
I 100% agree with you as far as that. And it's just a test. It really is a testament to kind of the way Disney does things now. Because if you think about it, especially in animation, and I don't mean that they do this with every film, but lately in animation and in their TV shows, they try so hard to be, I guess you'd say, woke, or to be,
for lack of a better
controversial
phrase. There you
controversial
go.
To the point where they put things in places to where, and we've talked about this, where if you don't like it, you're either racist
or sexist. Yeah.
And it's happening again with the Marvels, because but that one does have a ton of trolls. I will say
that just hate it for no reason. They hate it because they hate Brie Larson. And let's not say that she does not antagonize her troll.
And they do that apparently in the trailer as well, which is like, don't do that, because you're not helping yourself here. But my point is, it's because of that, like, then you turn off a giant group of people, regardless of whether they're piece of craps or not.
They don't want to be in the middle of a mudslinging fight. Yeah.
And so what happens now? A studio like Illumination comes over. It's just going straight and narrow down the, just making
movies. We're making a Mario Brothers movie, people.
A Mario's Minions, Sing. Things that they do, like Sing, for example, has a little bit more, a lot of characters that have more the really emotion and kind of things going on. They're not trying to be extra. They're just trying to make a good family movie. That's it.
There's this thing. And spicy hot takes already in the week. But a final thing before we actually do start wrapping it up. Where did my thought go? We might have to. I got it. Sorry. There's this thing about normalization, where when something's normalized, no one notices it anymore because it's normal. It's just part of your daily life. Now, that's the sign of progress, and that's supposed to be the end goal, is for normalization of seeing LGBT people in a movie on the big screen with a general audience, normalization of people of color in powerful positions, both in the real world and in fictional works. That's supposed to be normalization. The problem is there are entire industries built around normalizing different aspects of society for different groups, for different things. But the victory would be that those organizations would no longer have a purpose and would go away. The problem is you've got so many people insistent on finding places and opportunities to wave a flag so they can remain relevant to help make money, when the reality is that not for all groups, and even for many groups, there's still some work that can and should be done. But overwhelmingly, in the entertainment sphere, a lot of freaking progress has been made, and a lot of stuff is very, very normal. And whenever you start tooting your own horn, people notice, and that gets really freaking annoying, and it can become patronizing, and it can even become offensive to the people you're trying to lift up because of the way you're doing it.
Yeah,
it's grody.
Bros,
it's grody.
Yeah, just look at bros. It's a great example. It sucks, because I feel that it causes more division than it does unity.
Yeah,
and it's really annoying, because that's not the point.
You're hurting the actors, the writer, director.
because like films like She-Hulk make you think that characters shows. Like shows like She-Hulk make you think that characters like Sarah Connor didn't exist.
Well,
characters like Sigourney Weaver in Alien didn't exist.
You got to remember Jennifer Lawrence is the first female lead hero in a movie with her groundbreaking Hunger Games series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it didn't exist. According to you know, so it's kind of like
even the freaking female hero T-Rex or even the hero T-Rex in Jurassic Park was female, damn it. Long before
millions, Buffy, 65 million years
I bring,
ago.
I bring up Buffy all the time because you got all sorts of things, including LGBT representation on screen for a relatively large audience with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I love pointing it out because it started in the freaking 90s. And who was at the helm? I'm not saying that he's not a dick. I'm not saying that he hasn't had issues on set at all. I'm just saying
you have to
give credit where credit is due. Joss Whedon was a leading force behind normalizing female empowerment on television the way that we see now. He created essentially became the CW.
Kind of weird. It's weird that that's who it was.
He created the CW. It is, yeah. Power corrupts.
Yeah,
absolute power corrupts.
And then,
absolutely, maybe. I mean,
and then the most inclusive
it doesn't
franchise,
absolve him of his sins at all.
And then my argument of the most inclusive franchise of all time, Star Trek, because they've been doing it for decades, and they did it the smartest way possible, which was, well, one of the things they did was being able to normalize, diversity, and they did it smartest way possible, and that is through sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because aliens.
Yeah.
Because they're not human, guys. They're aliens.
No. Nope.
And so what does that do? That kind of creates that pocket where everything and anything is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that they've been able to normalize a lot of things. And even in times where that should have never happened based on what unfortunately the American culture was at that time.
Yeah.
And kudos to them. That's why it's one of my favorite franchises, just because of just the massive amounts of storytelling, the decades long storytelling, and then the inclusivity that now can be celebrated and said, because look at the record we have. It's not trying to, you know, bring the one character in for the show in Star Wars and then put a spotlight on him and be like, look what we're doing. So it's cool. I love Star Trek. This week is the finale for Picard, and for once I'm very excited. Picard, though, that first two seasons were not it. Anywho, so I'm very curious to what the Mandalorian is going to do this week, because we'll I have see. No idea. What they should have done is taking that god awful episode with Lizzo and Jack Black, and the other one with the Doctor,
watched it.
and expanded this. Part of the story more.
Well, they're setting things up with the Doctor and that other former Imperial. Well, not the Doctor anymore, but that other female Imperial. They're setting her up for further stuff.
Need an entire episode?
It looks completely wasteful. You didn't need that much of an episode to set her up. No,
yeah,
not
and
not
the
at
thing
all.
And the thing about it is, I don't mind the Christopher Lloyd, the Lizzo, the Jack Black. Put them on the same episode.
Yeah,
and like if you, it was rough, man. Because then it just became
you're being nice.
A little bit. I mean, like I don't mind the cameos. What I mind is putting them all together and making it look like some sort of community, like guest appearance show. Like it looked like a Saturday Night Live. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Instead of actually an episode of Mando.
Yeah.
So
I don't disagree. Anyways, guys, you can find more great content like the Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio, who did do their Renfield review. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can see it on your screen right now. You can see all of this stuff on the Genreverse here on YouTube. Cantina doing Mando. Look for our final season 3 finale review this week. If it's not a reaction video, all the podcasts and reviews and stuff go up on your favorite podcast apps like Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and more. Of course, LRMonline.com for celebrity interviews from the LRM YouTube channel, written articles, written reviews, news, leaks, rumors, all that type of good stuff. Manny, anything else for the good people?
Do your taxes. Today's tax day.
And what do you got for the bad people? Don't do your
hide
taxes
from the IRS. Wesley, go Wesley Snipes on him.
God, bye guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.